Okay, so this is the first in our series on Hilchos Shabbos. We'll start over. And and by way of introduction to the laws of Muktzah, I'd first like to talk about the general importance of learning Hilchos Shabbos and how much we should pay attention to that. So let's begin with a passage by Reb Shimshon Pinkus, where he has, I took two different excerpts of his that he has in two different svarim. And both of them I feel are extremely important and very fundamental. So let's look at the following. Reb Shimshon Pinkus writes in the Sefer Nefesh Shimshon on the laws of Shabbos. He talks about what I think is relevant to this week's Parsha as well. As we know in Parshas Pinchas, we recount many of the Yamim Tovim. We speak about the Karbanos of many of the Yamim Tovim. Parshas Pinchas is sometimes read on Yom Tov as well. And Reb Shimshon Pinkus here tries to contrast or figure out how to communicate the message of Shabbos in the context of Yamim Tovim. So let's read as follows. Echad mehayisodos achashuvim. Yes, there's a lot of reading today, but we'll translate everything. One of the fundamental and most important ideas, biyadus, in our religion, shehayom bo pokshim es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabbos Kodesh. One of the important messages that we need to keep in mind is that Shabbos is the day when we meet, when we have an opportunity to spend time with the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, ninaseh leva'er et mahuta shel HaShabbos b'hashva'a l'shar ha'moadim. We are going to try and attempt to figure out how Shabbos actually fits into the context of the other Yamim Tovim. And he explains as follows. L'chol moed yesh etam maimad shalo. Each Yom Tov, each Chag has its own focus, its own theme. Et habitui hamiyuchad shalo, hahagdara shalo. Each one you can pinpoint and say, if you want to just figure out what this holiday is all about and what we're supposed to be focusing on, for most of the Yamim Tovim we know how to figure that out. Pesach, as we know, is Zman Chayruseinu. Shavuos, as we know, is Zman Matan Terasenu. Rosh Hashanah is considered the Yom HaZikaron, or the Yom HaDin. Shabbos Kodesh B'Hagdarata HaMuchletet. When you're trying to figure out the dominating, the overarching theme of what Shabbos is really supposed to be about, if you can pinpoint it and say, the theme of Shabbos, the same way we have a theme for Pesach, and a theme for Shavuos, and a theme for Sukkos, you can say that the theme of Shabbos is Yomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is Milashon Shvisa. Shabbos comes from the terminology of rest. Univar es mashmaus hadavar. And now we're going to explain what that means. Rest does not just mean that we take a good nap on Shabbos. That's perhaps a part of it. But there obviously needs to be something more important than just that. So let's try and explore what that means. What is Shabbos all about? We say it's Yom HaShel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what does that mean for all of us? Chazal Omrim, he takes us on a journey to understand a passage in Chazal. And I think it's a very powerful understanding. Kishanasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es HaTorah. On the occasion when God gave us the Torah, Tzipor Lo Tzavach, there were no birds that were chirping. Of Lo Parach, there was no creature in the sky that was flying. Shor lo ga'a, there were no animals that were making noise. Ofanim lo afu, there were no angels in the sky that were flying. Srafim lo amru kadosh kadosh, as we know, the angels in heaven sing shira, sing praise to the Ribono Shel Olam every day. What we say in our Kedusha, and on that day, it was absolute silence. Hayam lo nizdazea, the waters were not raging, the water was not flowing. Habrios lo dibru, the human beings did not speak or communicate with each other. Ela ha'olem shosek umachrish, the world was absolutely silent, the world was absolutely still. V'yatza ha'kol, and on that occasion, when the world was completely silent, when everything had stopped, the voice went out and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That is when God began to give the Aseres HaDibros and communicate His message with us. V'hine, Bipashtus mevinim, most of us on a basic level would understand that to mean shakol hayashaket, that the world was silent. Umemela, and once there was silence in the world with nothing else going on, now God was able to enter the world and communicate His message. Umemela hayayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar anochi Hashem Elokecha. Because there was silence, God had the ability to share with us that which He wanted to share. Kelomar, bichdei lishmo es kol Hashem. In order for God's presence to rest in this world, in order for it to come in such a powerful way, Ha'olam tzarach lios shari b'demama. The world needs to be absolutely silent. You need uninterrupted time with God and complete focus. However, he says, ha'emesu sheha'inin bazehu hafuch. That is an incorrect understanding, because really it goes the other way. Be'etzem Hashem Yisbarach tofes es hakol. The truth is, he says, that God really is always present in our world, and God is here all the time. Meloch al ha'aretz kevodo, we say. Ela she'anachnu mitzidenu asukim midai. We are just too distracted, we are too busy, and we know this to be true. So I just spent 2 weeks in Camp Simcha. It was an amazing 2 weeks. Difficult and painful. Camp Simcha is a camp for children with cancer. But one of the most amazing parts of it was that they don't give the staff members access to the internet. Only for like an hour at night or so. And you see that that which we distract ourselves with throughout the duration of our day and our year, when it's taken away from us, we have an opportunity to live life to the fullest. We're not missing all that much. So when you check your emails at night, how much did you miss? And you have the ability to appreciate what's actually happening in front of you. He says, we live in a generation where we're so distracted and we're so busy and we cannot pay attention. Therefore, we don't have the ability to see God. I can tell you that I saw God every day of the last 2 weeks. Not only because of the miracles that we experienced, and I have to make mention of Dr. Steinhardt, who was such an important player in the miracles that took place there. And I mean real miracles. Miracles of children who probably should not have been alive and still are. But you're only able to appreciate it because there's silence, because there's no distraction, because you're focused on those miracles. And that's what really had to take place on the occasion of Kabbalah Sator. Mashallah Dover Doman, he explains it even further. Hayapam Melech Gadol v'Nifla, there was a majestic and honorable, a prestigious king. Ve'echad minasinav, huzman lepgisha imo ba'armono. He invites one of his subjects, one of his old friends, to come and have a conversation with him. Ba'armon ha'melucha, and he invites him to come into the majestic palace. Milvad ha'melech atzmo, but aside from just, do you think when you have a big palace, when you have the White House, you think the only thing that's going on in there is that the king or the president sits there alone? Obviously not. There's so much more that goes on. In every room you go into, there's so much that's happening. Milvad ha'melech atzmo, and aside from the king himself, nimtzayim anashim nosafim ha'mesharsim es ha'melech, there are so many advisors, there are so many people who assist and who service the king. Minagnim, you have a bunch of musicians, you have a bunch of pianists, chachamim, you have advisors, and yoatzim. Vihine, magia ha'oreach, and now this guest who was invited to the palace of the king arrives. V'nichnas laheichal ha'melech, he enters into the majestic palace of this king. And miyad kishenichnas, it's his first time ever having such an experience, so he walks in. Hu shomea, and immediately he hears. Shebetzad yamin shel ha'eichel, he gets so, his mind can't be taken away from right on his right side when he walks in. He sees a symphony orchestra with musica nifla, with beautiful otherworldly music. He can't believe what he's hearing. Buhu otzer, and he stops kedei lehenos mimena, to take it all in and to appreciate that which he hears. He's having a difficult time pulling himself away. I'm enjoying this so much, I've never heard music like this. And it's difficult for him to pull away and stop paying attention to that music. And finally he gets himself back together. He continues to walk through the entranceway and he sees on the left side, Bechacham gadol hayoshev, he sees that there is this brilliant young man, upiv shofea divrei chachma, and he's talking about these incredible, brilliant insights. Hamisamchem es lev shomav. So I don't know what it was, but maybe he was a comedian, and he had a big crowd there, and everyone was enjoying it, everyone was laughing. Binosaf, and then on top of that, after he finally pulls himself away from that part of the experience, humavchin, he notices shal hakiros teluyos yitziros umnos niflos. He sees the most beautiful paintings, and such intricate details of the way everything was constructed, such masterful artistry, and he's amazed by it. He just can't get enough. And everywhere he turns, he just sees more and more that's exciting him. He is so taken, entranced, by all that's going on around him. He totally disregards the fact that he's here to meet with the king. Because there's just so much happening. How can I not listen to the orchestra, and how can I not look at this beautiful artistry that's all over this palace? How can I not pay attention to the one who's speaking here or to the food that's being served there? Be'ef Sharuso, and he says, it's humanly possible. Lahavir Sha'ot Agabi Sha'ot, for a person to go hours on end, Beklitas Kalayofi Misaviv, just absorbing all of this beauty around him or herself, and taking all of that in. Ula Olam, Lo Yira Es Yofiyav Shalam Elach Atzmo. You can spend an entire day walking around and just enjoying and appreciating everything and never get to the reason why you were there. And you'll walk out without even noticing that the reason I was invited to this place was to spend time with the king. We had something we were supposed to discuss. We had something that we needed to talk about. And you can go through an entire experience of being invited to the most majestic and beautiful of places and completely forget the reason why you're there. Aval HaMelech Ma'od Mechavev Oso. The king enjoys his company. This is one of his old friends. V'chafetz L'socheach Imo. The king wants to speak with him. Ma'osah HaMelech. So what should the king do? Hu Machriz, he makes a decree and he says, Kulam Liyot B'Sheket. I ask that everyone keep quiet, that everyone be silent. Hotziu Kalish Me'alai, remove all the symphony orchestra and all the food and take all the paintings off the walls. I want this person to be able to focus. And because we have so much going on here, and I understand it's for my honor, says the king, but it's distracting the person from the reason why they're here. Uba'osa Regan, at that moment, Shahakol Shake, now finally when everything in the palace is quiet and removed, Hodo v'hadaro shel ha-melech memalem es heichalo. Only then can the beauty of the king actually be fully appreciated. Ulepeta, and immediately migale ha-oreach es sha'ahava nafshi. Now this guest is able to have that meeting with his old friend that he loved so much. But until that happened, they didn't have the ability to appreciate each other. Alameinu olam niflahu. We live in a most amazing and a most incredible world. Maloch ala aretz kevodo. God's majesty fills up the entirety of our world, of our cosmos. Yofyo shel habori yisbarach memale es kol ha'olam. Adam nichnas li'olam, and God places us with his great kindness into this world. Uvamakom liras es galuso shel Hashem. But in the place of appreciating the greatness and the majesty of God, we get carried away and overwhelmed with the incredible beauty and the gift of what life actually is. And we enjoy everything that God puts here for us. And again, we should appreciate it and we should love it. That's why it's here. And that's why God gave it to us. But he says, Ha'olam, sometimes the world marchik otanu mehashem yisbarach. Sometimes the world itself distances us from God. Like that person who just cannot focus because there's so much going on in the palace. This is God's palace. And he put so much beauty in it for all of us to appreciate. And we should appreciate it. But the problem is sometimes it removes us from him because we get so focused on all of that. Adam nichnas lechanus prachim. He says somebody goes into a store, a flower shop. Ve'od lefnei shu roes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many of us walk into an experience like that? So you go in on Erev Shabbos or on Thursday or wherever you need the flowers. You're preparing a wedding or a simcha and you want to talk to them about how they're going to put everything together in the most beautiful bouquet. How many people walk into a store or go through an experience like that and say, wow, look at the beauty that God created. Look what we can make. I've never felt that way. I've never thought about God when I'm standing doing something as simple as that? So you look at all the beauty. How many of us walk out of an experience like that and say, God, this is amazing? Instead of that, we're sitting and negotiating, no, we want this flower, that flower, and we think this will look nice and that will look nice, and it's great, and put the most beautiful bouquet together, it's wonderful. But don't forget, you forget that it's God who actually created all of this, who gave you the opportunity to appreciate all of this and to have it in your life. Yesh lo einayim, we all have eyes. Hu ro'eh olam nifla, we look around the world and we see the mountains and we see the trees and we see the homes and we see the cars and everything's amazing and it's beautiful. Shamayim va'aretz olam shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenivra. All of this is the home of God which He created, kedei she'adam yatzbi'a v'yishal es atzmo, that a person should be so startled and finally come to the recognition and realize, mi bara kol eile, who possibly brought me all of this? Who put me in this world and what am I doing here? What does God expect from me to be here? But unfortunately, we're too distracted. We get carried away with the symphony and we go too far with it. Just like that king, you have a king who sets up a system that he should have a symphony orchestra playing in his honor, and instead of being in his honor, it pulls people away from focusing on him. And those who visit the palace, they're so overwhelmed by the beautiful music, they forget that there's a king here. Lachain, and therefore, when God wanted to give us the Torah, Hu hishbis es kol ha'olam, he felt that it was necessary to quiet down the world and remove all distractions. Hakol dameim, everything had to be absolutely silent and still. Ve'az beregazeh, and only at a moment like that, kishar olam kulo hayashakit lachalutin, when the entire world was still, when everything was removed, when all the distractions were taken away. Memela yatza hakol haroim anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's when God's powerful voice, that was always there, was able to be appreciated. He didn't have to clear it out of the way in order for Himself to be able to enter the world. He was always here. He needed to remove all of that in order for us to recognize, to appreciate that His presence was always here. Vizuhi Shabbos Kodesh. And if you want to know what Shabbos is every week, Shabbos, as we said, is Milashon Shvisa. It's resting, but it doesn't just mean taking a nap. It means so much more than that. It is an absolute silence in the world. Kalamahuma hashoreres ba'olam, all of the distraction, all of the noise that we're busy with. Mafsika, it all stops. Bishar yamos hashavua, on the other days of the week, adam istovev ba'olam, we go about our business and we walk around and we go shopping and we go and do whatever it is that we want to do, and we should all appreciate that. And we take care of all that needs to be done for our families, for ourselves. But b'Shabbos hakol mafsik. On Shabbos, everything stops. Hakol domeim, the world is silent. Uveyom hashvi shavas ve'yinafash. Uma nishar, and what is left when everything's quiet? Hashem Yisbarach. So if you had to encapsulate, Pesach is Zman Cheruseinu. And Sukkos is Zman Simchaseinu. And Shavuos is Zman Matan Toraseinu. And Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, the Yom Hazikaron. Well then, what is Shabbos? How can we say what the theme of Shabbos is meant to be? He suggests the very simple and singular theme of Shabbos is it's the day of the Ribon Shalom. It's the day when God's presence that's really here all week long is actually able to be appreciated. And that's what Shabbos means. It doesn't just mean Shvisa, that we should rest and enjoy ourselves, but it means that the world is Shovis, that the world is silent, the world is still, and the world is quiet. That's what Shabbos gives us the opportunity to do, to welcome in the Shechina and remind ourselves that the Shechina is an important part of our lives throughout the year, throughout the week. But Shabbos just gives us that opportunity to once again reacquaint ourselves with that presence of Shechina that we always have in our lives. So Shabbos is, as we said, an incredibly unique day. And it is meant to be a day of extreme relevance, both for us and for the Ribono Shel Olam. But there's no way that one can properly keep Shabbos without knowing the halachas of Shabbos. How are you supposed to know what you should do if you don't know the protocols of how one is supposed to act? So you're invited back to that palace of the king. But nobody told you how you're supposed to come dressed, or where you're supposed to go, or which way to walk, or which escalator, which elevator to take. How should I figure it out? And unless I spend time understanding the protocols of what the palace of the king of Shabbos is, there's no way I can possibly have that experience in the right way. There's no way I can appreciate everything that Shabbos is meant to be if I don't actually know the rules of how Shabbos is meant to be. So Rabbi Yonah Sanaibish is one of the great Gedolim in the 1700s. Writes about this. And he writes in a open letter to his community. Uba Emes, he says, this is on the bottom of the page. Ashrei HaShomim Shabbos Karoi. Blessed are those people who keep Shabbos in the proper way. Ki bo bachar Hashem Yisrael l'sgulasa, because that is the day that God chose to spend time with His people. V'yom zeh chemdas u'sgulas hayamim. V'ilu shamri Yisrael Shabbos Karoi. And the Medrash tells us that if only the Jewish people would keep Shabbos properly, hayu nigalim, we would be redeemed. But unfortunately, we don't. And it doesn't just mean our brothers and sisters who don't know about Shabbos aren't keeping it properly. It means all of us are also not keeping Shabbos properly. So we have kitchens nowadays that our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, I should say great-grandmothers, never imagined one can have. And we have warming drawers and hot plates. And how many people really know, what am I allowed to put on there? What am I not allowed to? And am I supposed to be covering something up? And at which point of Shabbos can I use it and when can I not? How are you supposed to know the protocols of Shabbos if you never spend time learning those rules? And says Rabbi Yonah Sanaibishitz, Ba'avonu Seinu HaRabim, Ein Anu Nizharim B'Kama Dinim. We are not careful, we're on the second side of the page. We are not careful with so many of the halachos. Melachos v'toldos. How many people know the 39 avos melachos? So you say, yeah, I know there's some melacha about plowing. Well, none of us plow. How many of us know the practical applications of what plowing means for us living here, not on a farm? How many of us think about it? How many of us really understand how to apply all of the halachos? And how many of us look into it carefully? And he writes, Dine muktzah. How many people know what exactly they're allowed to touch and what perhaps they are not allowed to? How many people know what they can move off of the bed or off of the table and what needs to stay there? Doesn't mean everything's usher. As we'll see in the next few weeks, many of the things are permissible, are mutter. But one has to know the guidelines. Al harov, machmas chisaron ayidia. It's not because we're evil people. It's not because we want to slight God. It's not because we don't want to keep Shabbos. It's because most of the time, it's chisaron ha'yedia. We just don't know. We don't spend the time understanding it and learning it properly. Ki ba'avonu seinu harabim, and this to me is such a powerful point because it's so true. Ba'avonu seinu harabim nefishi v'chamiri hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos has become so complicated and so complex, and as the years move on, I cannot tell you how difficult the shaylos on hilchos Shabbos are becoming. I just walk into a room and so many things are activated and so many things are happening and I didn't mean to. And how many people have in their homes the Nest system? Nobody knows what the Nest is? That's really complicated. And what do we do about that? Does that mean, and now we have, let's say I'm not the one who has the system, but I'm just invited over to eat at someone's home who has the system. Do I have to start wondering about whether or not I can even go to people's homes on Shabbos because maybe they're going to have one of those systems? It's not simple. It's very complicated. Or how about what somebody discussed with me this past week? So they're building a basement, and now they have some bathroom that they're building down there, and they have a water tank for the toilet there, and every couple of flushes, you're activating a system. What am I supposed to do about that? And how many people have actually thought about it? Am I putting in a tank that could actually hold 10 flushes on a Shabbos? I don't think most people are thinking about this. But we have to. Shabbos is becoming increasingly complicated and very, very difficult. My father says to me all the time, people ask us questions nowadays that it would have taken Reb Chaim Moser 3 weeks to answer in the 1900s. But now we need instant answers. Now everybody expects. They send you a text and the next minute you're going to answer them. And this is becoming very difficult and very complicated. And what are we doing about it? Ve'en kora behem lishma, says Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz. How many people sit down and actually focus on the Hilchos Shabbos, lilmod lishmar velasos, to know what exactly I need to do? What is relevant to the next Shabbos that's coming next week? Lom dimrak makom pilpul, he says, they hear a good question here, something interesting there. Kushia peruka v'chidud ve'en samalev, and nobody pays attention. Lilmod Hilchos Shabbos sheyiyu shigurim b'fiv. Nobody pays attention that Hilchos Shabbos needs to be something that we all know inside and out, that we all know very well. Ubavonoseinu harabim shigigas Talmud ole zadum. He says we spend time thinking about all these other things and it's wonderful. But what about the basics? What about knowing how we're supposed to be living life every day and every Shabbos and every week? And back to Camp Simcha. I gave a lot of shiurim over the summer there. And somehow, it was a girl session, somehow every shiur, regardless of what it was about, ended up in the topic of shidduchim. Every single one. So I got an education about shidduchim this summer. And one thing that really struck me was the following. So we were in the middle of a conversation about something, and one of the girls asked something about, oh, I was talking about whether you're allowed to pray for a miracle. So one of the girls asked, well, then how am I allowed to pray for a shidduch? Isn't that, doesn't the Gemara say that's a miracle? So I said, I think in conventional understanding, we don't believe that every time somebody gets engaged or married that we're experiencing Kriyas Yamsuf. I don't think that's our perspective. Once in a while, we look at a shidduch and we say, wow, that is Kriyas Yamsuf. But most of the times when somebody gets engaged, that's natural. It's not something, again, of course, when you break it down and you say, what's the likelihood of this person meeting that and them actually being able to get married? It's amazing. But I don't think most of us think of that as an open miracle. So we were getting into this whole discussion. So a girl raises her hand and she says, what about the 7 zibugim? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She says, well, don't you know, we have 7 zibugim, and if I miss this one, I'll catch the next train or something. I don't know. So I said, just for my own understanding, how many people in the room have heard of the 7 zibugim? Almost the whole room raised their hands. A few hundred people. And I was shocked. I was shocked. It's not their fault. But what I was shocked about was the following. I don't consider myself a great Talmud Chacham, but I was more knowledgeable than every girl in that room. And I've never heard of the 7 Zivugim, which means it's totally irrelevant. And there are many more things that you need to know about before you worry about the 7 Zivugim. What about how you're keeping next Shabbos? And I started to have a conversation with them. We're focusing our energy and our attention. So they said to me, the Al-Sheikh writes like this, and it's Kabbalah. I don't think so many of them were Mekubalim. I think all of us need to live life in our achayim. We need to know how are we supposed to live out life. And we watch people who are cheating on their business and who are involved in fraud. How do we not know the laws that we need to know about every day? Who cares about the 7 zivugim? Right now, it's not relevant for any of us. When we become mekubalim and we're ready for that, we'll worry about it. I think the basics, and that's what he writes here, the basics are so often neglected. Not because we're bad people. Maybe it's the fault of our teachers who choose to teach us about 7 Zivugim instead of Hilchos Shabbos and those which are so much more important and relevant to all of us. And that's what he writes here. To spend time, says Rabbi Yonos and Eibishitz, focusing on what it is that's really important. Like the day-to-day halachas that we all need to know because we're faced with challenges and dilemmas every day of our lives. So for those who may have not been here on Sunday, we had a series that began with the OU Kashrus. So the first talk was all about kashrus in the workplace. So you say, what do you mean? I bring my own lunch, it's not a problem. How can anything go wrong? If you would have listened to the way this presentation went, there are so many things. It doesn't mean that it's impossible. It means we just need to be aware of it. So how many of us go to an office building, go to a meeting, are found somewhere, go out to eat somewhere, and we just don't think about how many potential challenges we are faced with that we just don't realize? And we need to educate ourselves about the things that are relevant to our day-to-day lives and forget about all the things that are totally irrelevant. We'll get to that some other time. If we have 1,000 years to live, we'll get to it. But for now, we have a life to live and a Torah to keep to. Every moment and every day of life and every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. And we need to make sure as a community that we do it properly. And that, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibishtis, is something that pains him. Because people are getting caught up with things that are not important. Bivakasha mikem, he says, I beg of you. Ein rasha she'ein ani mazir aschem, he says to his community, there is not a single talk that I give where I don't say that a person needs to focus and pay attention on living life the day to day, on the halachos that pertain to our lives that are so relevant to every moment of life. Shimu lemamarai. I thought about it also. I don't think I've ever given a shiur in my 2.5 years in this shul on any aspect of Chosha Mishpat. Chosha Mishpat is all about how we do business. I don't think I've ever given one talk about it. Why? It's a good question. But how can that be? That we have a membership that is interacting in business every day, and most people are probably unaware of so many things they need to be careful about. And I borrow money, and there's ribis concerns, and there's so many different things that I need to think about. But we just don't focus on it. We have so many things that we need to pay attention to. Ubifrat, and certainly he says, Hilchos Shabbos v'yamtiv lishmor ma'adei Hashem karoi, in order that we should properly keep the festivals and the Shabbosos, ki heim mikroi kodesh beheim hamaginim aleinu, and that is what keeps us safe. And he goes on further, and he says that he thinks everybody has to carve out time during the week to make sure that they study and they review the laws of Shabbos and they know them well. And the Mishneh Berurah quotes this as well, and the Mishneh Berurah writes in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos that anyone who has not learned through all of Hilchos Shabbos at least 2 or 3 times, Mishneh Berurah writes, he has a hard time believing that they can possibly keep Shabbos the right way. Because how can you? How can you even know what to be aware of if you've never gone through it? And that's why I think it's important that we spend time together this summer focusing on this and learning at least one aspect, one area of Hilchos Shabbos to make ourselves aware of what it is that we need to be careful about, what it is that we can and cannot do, and what it is that we need to be making sure that our families know about as well. So, I know it's a fast day, so we'll cut it a little bit short so that people can have the opportunity to go home, but I just want to read through one more piece of Reb Shimshon Pinkus in a different one of his books. And here, he deals with a challenge and a question that should bother all of us. So the Psukim tell us, somebody who is Mechal HaShabbos, what is their punishment? Mechal Aleha Mos Yumas. Somebody who actively violates the laws of Shabbos is given capital punishment, is given the death penalty. Somebody who is Mechal HaShabbos B'farhesya, says the Gemara in Chulin, somebody who is not careful and vigilant about the laws of Shabbos, is Dino Ka'akum. Their status now turns into a non-Jew, which has extreme consequences for so many other areas of Halacha. So now the wine that they touch is going to be non-kosher and everything, and the food that they cook. It's not simple. But it's bothersome a little. It seems almost imbalanced. Why do we go on such a limb for Shabbos? We have many mitzvahs in the Torah that we're supposed to be keeping to. We have a lot of things we are supposed to be adhering to and paying attention to. So why is it that Shabbos we go so far out of proportion? It's so blown out of proportion. Somebody who's Mechal Shabbos is like a non-Jew? Literally? Somebody who's Mechal Shabbos deserves the death penalty because I just flicked the light switch on? And that's something that he grapples with here. So let's read together. And he brings us to a story in Chumash of somebody who actually was Mechal Shabbos. So what happens? Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar. Vayimtzu ish mekoshe sheitzim b'yom ha-Shabbos. So the Jewish people are given the laws of Shabbos, and now they find someone who is being mekoshesh etzim on Shabbos. What does that mean? Gathering a bunch of sticks together, not even clear what melacha he was violating, not clear what exactly he did wrong, but something. The Jewish people knew there was something wrong, but they didn't know exactly how to deal with it. Vayakrivu oso hamotziim oso. So they sent out the police force, they go and arrest this person, and they bring him to Moshe ve'al Aaron ve'al kol ha'eda. They present him before the Beis Din, before Moshe and Aaron. Vayanichu oso b'mishmar, and they put him into jail. Ki lo perish ma ya'aseh lo, because Moshe and Aaron didn't exactly know how to handle this. They didn't know what should we do to this person. So Moshe begins a conversation with the Ribbono shel Olam, and he asks him, well, what are we supposed to do to somebody who's mechal Shabbos? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, and God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Mos yumas ha'ish. He's deserving of the death penalty. Ragom osoba avanim kol ha'ida michutz la'machaneh. Not only is he deserving of the death penalty, but you're going to stone him in front of the whole congregation, in front of the whole community. Humiliate him. And everybody's going to throw stones on him together. And that's in fact what they did. Vayotziu oso kol ha'ida al michutz la'machaneh. And they bring him outside. Vayirgmu oso ba'avanim vayamos. And they stone him to death. The truth is, lepela hadavar, it's very surprising. Ad kama hechmira ha'Torah al shmira Shabbos Kodesh. How much the Torah goes on the limb to teach us about how intense and how severe the laws of Shabbos are. Mashalom atzinu digmaso b'shum mitzvah sheba Torah. We don't find this kind of punishment for any other mitzvah or aveira in the Torah. Hainu, which means, sha'apu'ula kala shebekalas, you do the smallest of activities of actions on Shabbos. Sach hakol, what did I do already? What did this man do in the desert? Less of kama etzim basada, he just gathered a bunch of sticks, a bunch of rocks. Kver hanisha ha'Torah ba'onash ha'chamer biyoter. And the Torah tells us we have to stone him publicly, and that's the way he's going to meet his death. Hare, he says, take for example, Misha Yisrov Sefer Torah Rachmana Litzlan. Imagine, God forbid, you have somebody who takes a Sefer Torah right out of the Aron Kodesh, goes to a public square, makes a big bonfire, and burns all the Sefer Torah. Im kol ha-shemos ha-kodesh ha-bo, with all of the names of God in there, and with all the things that a Sefer Torah represents, his punishment would not be Misa. Except if he did it on Shabbos, correct. But on a regular day of the week, we're dealing with a big tzaddik, he wouldn't make a fire on Shabbos. Imagine, he says, you have somebody who does something as egregious as that. Take a Sefer Torah and you burn it in front of everyone. You're not deserving of the death penalty. As awful of an act as that is. O misha ochel chazir metamtem es kol nafsho, somebody who eats non-kosher food. Va'af harotzeach. Imagine somebody who, God forbid, murders somebody else intentionally. Shehechriv nefesh mi Yisrael. Afal pisha gam hu chayev misa. Yes, the punishment for you for doing such an act is that you deserve the death penalty, but still lo hechmira b'hatora kama etzam l'chal Shabbos. We don't find that the Torah gives the same level of death as it would for someone who's mechal Shabbos. And he asks, why is that the case? Why should it be that Shabbos is so much more severe and significant than anything else? Go to the next paragraph. So you have somebody who has a terrible infection on their finger. Vaharofe kava, and after consulting with the doctors, they have come to the conclusion, so we have to amputate that finger in order for it to get better, because otherwise the infection is going to spread to the entire body. Hine. So we come in for the surgery, and everybody's a little bit sad, but this is what needs to be done to save the body. Imagine if the doctor makes a little mistake. Instead of amputating one finger, they amputate the other finger. And now they realize, look what I just did. Now we have to go back and amputate the first one because the infection's still there. So he made a mistake. That can lead to a terrible, terrible thing for the person who the mistake was made on. Now they don't have two fingers instead of only not having one. But it's manageable. It's terrible. There are going to have to be life changes that are going to be made. Nothing's ever going to be the same as it was, but life actually can move on. Once you figure out how to navigate life under these new circumstances, life will work itself out, hopefully. Lo ken adavar, imagine you have a person who suffers from a serious heart issue. And the doctors decide we have to do this kind of very invasive procedure. And they're just off by 1 centimeter. They make 1 millimeter, one tiny mistake in that open heart surgery. That's not the same. Life cannot move on without a heart. You have someone who needs surgery on their brain. The doctors, instead of cutting this part, make a mistake and cut something a little bit larger. The person's life is lost. The person will be paralyzed forever. The person will no longer have a heart. Those two scenarios are not the same. Sometimes we make mistakes, and they're catastrophic mistakes, but we can move on even though we've made such mistakes. But there are times when the mistake is fatal. There are times when the mistake is an open heart surgery. You cannot have any margin of error. There is no room for a mistake. Next paragraph. V'chein hu ha'inim mishabbos kodesh. Shabbos is halev v'hamerkaz l'chol ha'kedushos. Shabbos is the heart and soul of what a Jew is. If you make the slightest of mistakes on a Shabbos, that's like the doctor who makes a mistake when doing a very invasive procedure on the heart. There is no margin of error. There is no room for a mistake. You cannot afford for a mistake to be made. Shabbos is called Me'ein HaBrachos, as we say in our davening every Friday night. HaMayan, it is the wellspring. V'hamikar l'chol kedusha u'bracha. Shabbos is the opportunity for us to have blessing throughout our lives. Bo shorah hashchina kedusha. Shabbos is the day when we have the opportunity to bask in the glory of God's presence. V'hi mekar achius l'nefesh ha'yehudi. And Shabbos is the core. It is the soul of the Jewish people. V'lachein, and therefore, miskalkala etzala adam shmira Shabbos. If a person makes a mistake in the way they keep Shabbos and the way they observe it, af bistia kala biyoser, even in the smallest and the slightest mistake that you make, hareiz emum pnimi ba'omek halev, you have just made a fatal mistake. You haven't just cut off the wrong finger. You've made a fatal mistake that you cannot continue to live with. Umishkan haneshama besoch pnimi yusa, umemela, and therefore, ba ha'ason ha'chamur biyoter. Shekdushas ha'yehudi asher bo, because the sanctity of a Jew, ve'etzem ahuso ve'emunaso nifgoyim, because your heart has now been ripped out of you, if you don't know what a Shabbos is. Ad she'amru chazal, to the point that chazal tell us, that someone who's mechala Shabbos b'frahesya, somebody who's mechala Shabbos in a public domain, nechshav kegoy lekama v'kama halachas b'torah, your status has now changed to a non-Jew. How can I have lost my status as a non-Jew? You mean to tell me I'm going to sit at the dinner table tonight and I'm going to talk Lashon Hara with my family, and it was a juicy piece of Lashon Hara, and I knew that I was doing something wrong and I really enjoyed it. Now I'm not a Jew anymore? Because I did something like that? Of course I'm a Jew. And of course we all do things wrong. But somehow when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, I do something wrong, I lose my status as a Jew. How can that be? Because that's the definition of what a Jew is. That's the heart and soul of a Jew, is Shabbos. Because we have the opportunity to connect with God Himself. Shaharei Shabbos hu me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is the opportunity for us to reconnect with olam haba. Shehu ha'chaim ha'nitzchiyim b'kdusha u'bracha ein sofiyim. Because that is the unlimited life of blessing in Olam Haba. Va'al kein, and therefore, kol habrachas va'akadushas yachulu alav oda b'chayim. We can have the opportunity of appreciating an experience of Olam Haba, even in this world. What is Olam Haba? So the Gemara tells us, it's the time when tzaddikim yoshim v'nenem miziv hashchina. What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is the opportunity for us to just bask in the glory of God Himself. That should be the greatest experience for any Jew. And that's what we look forward to. But Shabbos gives us the opportunity to have that every week. We don't need to wait till the afterlife. Shabbos gives us the opportunity, as we said, to have silence in the world. to make sure that we reawaken our spirit and recognize that the heart and soul of a Jew is their intimate relationship with God Himself. And Shabbos gives us the opportunity to appreciate that. And you'll say, Muktzah, whether I touch this item or I don't, does God really care? Yes, He really cares. And you'll say, does He really care if I turn the lights on or not? It's just one switch. Does He really care what time I light the Shabbos candles? I'm running a little late. Does He care what time I blow dry my hair or I go in the shower? Yes, He cares. Because there are rules that govern the way we keep Shabbos properly. And there are rules and protocols of how we're supposed to act when the king is visiting us. And that's what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos gives us the opportunity to do that every week. If only we have the ability to take advantage of it, to learn the halachas properly, to know what it is that we can and perhaps cannot do, to know exactly how we're supposed to spend those 25 hours of a Shabbos that we have the opportunity to experience every week of our lives. So, Amir Tzashem, next week, we will continue with the more of the halachas.